That Don't Sound Right is a podcast about talking. Talking the way we did before the internet, when you could not prove anyone right or wrong.
All the expertise was contained in the people involved with the conversation. I'm Peter.
I'm Cecil. And I hope you enjoy our conversations. And as you listen, if you find yourself silently saying, "That don't sound right," send us a comment. You're one of us.
No, no, no. Absolutely not. No, no. I've just stopped putting sweetener in my coffee.
Oh, that's right. Did you make it?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah. I mean, not the whole... Welcome back to another episode of That Don't Sound Right, a podcast about talking. We're your co-hosts. I'm Peter Billman.
I'm Cecil Davis.
And we're just trying to have a conversation without Googling or fact-checking, at least not at first.
That's true. And next week I will be with a group of people who have either been on the show or listened to the show at the Country Mile down in South Carolina.
Next week is the Country next Mile. Week, no kidding.
Next weekend. So not this Saturday. But next Saturday will be the Country Mile.
Maybe
so,
you can record some live footage.
I've thought about that. Yeah,
do that, and maybe we'll have a kind of a reunion from the great prank on Cecil of 2022.
If you want to get back and listen to that, if you want to get back and listen to that episode, it's called "Missed It by a Mile," Part One and Part Two.
Yeah,
it's an excellent practical joke that took place at the Country Mile.
Speaking of multi-part podcasts, if you've been following along with us the past couple weeks, we had the Foul Ball Part 1, the Foul Ball Part 2, and you know what? We're going to have to do a Part 3.
Because you went to the press conference.
This past Tuesday, our international brand ambassador, Brent, and I went to the press conference where they made the big announcement. And if you were watching the Fox 8 News at 6 p.m., you got a quick glimpse of me and Brent on the news.
He was wearing a "That Don't Sound Right" hat, or somebody was.
He was, yeah. Yeah, he was in full regalia. I had just gotten back from work, so I did not have my my garb on.
Okay, with Sam Dash, we're still available. You know, if you need us to, you need us for
anything. Oh, and also going back to another one of our episodes. This was only a one-parter where we talked about Lent.
The God-fearing noodle.
The God-fearing noodle, and that beaver is a fish. But good news to all of those that are really observing that. Mm. At least today, tomorrow, or Saturday, depending on your tradition, right, Lent ends. And you can go back to your normal diet. You don't have to eat the God-cheating noodle. And you don't have to eat beaver on Fridays.
We need a good Catholic to call in and tell us when Lent officially ends.
Right. We've been going because
I thought it was today.
You saw it was today. I thought it was Good Friday.
Which would be tomorrow.
Right. And I think someone else said it was Easter.
Yeah. Tomorrow, chronologically. Tomorrow, if you're listening to this, is Sunday.
Oh, right.
So just to keep you all straight out there in radio land.
We are not straight.
Yeah. We don't know when Lent officially ends, so... Someone will have to write in and tell us.
Let us know.
So you gave up chocolate?
No, no, no. Absolutely not. No, no. I've just stopped putting sweetener in my coffee.
Oh, that's right. Did you make it?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah. I mean, not the whole time.
Right.
But I did it almost every day.
Oh, good
yeah,
for you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah.
So now you can go back.
Not every cup of coffee.
Right.
And, you know, right. I don't have to do this, but it was just a really good reminder. Every time I made a cup of coffee and I drank that bitter cup of coffee, just remind me, oh yeah, Easter's coming.
Right.
Easter is coming.
I think that encourages me in how you did that.
Good.
Because I don't do that. As we talked about, God-fearing.
And I don't do it every year, right, but this year I did. Hey, but as we usually do, instead of going straight to the Foul Ball Part 3, we wanted to take a break and do what we usually do this time of year. And that is to talk about Easter. As we usually do for Christmas and Easter, we take a break from our usual banter and talk about something about these two very important Christian holidays, and talk about something about those holidays that just don't sound right.
Right. So keep in mind that we believe what we're talking about. And so we're going to talk about when this story airs, it'll be Saturday night. We're actually recording this on Thursday night to let you behind the curtain a little bit. So we're recording it on what's called Maundy Thursday, which I didn't grow up with some of this in the Southern Baptist tradition, but we're recording this on Maundy Thursday, which is essentially the night that Jesus celebrated the Last Supper with his disciples. So tomorrow will be Good Friday, which is the day that Christ is crucified. You will listen to this episode on the in-between day of Saturday, which a pastor friend of mine still sticks in my mind, his sermon about the in-between time. And then Sunday, of course, is Resurrection Sunday.
But the character we wanted to focus on to this time was a guy named Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate at the time was one of the governors of the area. He, along with another fellow named Herod, they were governors in adjacent territories.
Yeah, so there were four territories in Israel at the time, and three of them were controlled by Herod the Great's, I guess his sons, and one of them was Herod Antipas. So Herod the Great, you probably remember from the Christmas story.
Probably don't.
Or don't remember from the Christmas story, and he tried to kill all the young children because he had heard about Jesus and tried to kill him as a child.
Because he was threatened by the fact that this person, this new baby, was supposed to be the king, the upcoming king of the Jews.
And then Herod, his son, Herod Antipas, wanted to see Jesus because he wanted to see a miracle. And we'll talk about that when we read it. But anyways, he was the governor of one of these four areas. And then there was a Roman military leader, that was the governor of the fourth region, which contained Jerusalem. All right, so there are three characters tonight. Jesus Christ, Herod, who is governor over Galilee, and Pontius Pilate, who is governor over the area that contains Jerusalem.
All right, so we're reading from John, and we're going to fast forward. So Jesus had been captured.
And if you're not familiar with the Bible, in the New Testament, the first four books are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Right. So
we're four books in.
18th chapter. The Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas, who was the high priest, to the palace of the Roman governor. Now, it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanliness, they did not enter the palace because they wanted to eat the Passover. So you've got the scene where the governor, named Pontius Pilate, is inside. The chief priests have brought Jesus to, like, the front door.
Right.
It's like, we're not going in, but we got this guy.
And they weren't. Why weren't they going in?
Because if they went in there, they'd be considered unclean, and they couldn't participate in the Passover meal.
Which was a big deal.
It is a big deal. So Pilate came out to them, which is kind of amazing, and says, well, what charges are you bringing against this man? And they said, well, if he weren't a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you. So there's the first thing. They're not even telling them what he did wrong. Okay, so Pilate probably has his spidey senses up. He's saying, take him yourselves, judge him by your own law. Now, this is interesting. They say, well, we have no right to execute anyone. This took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death he was going to die. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, are you king of the Jews? So I guess he goes inside, has Jesus come inside. Jesus is not too concerned about being unclean for the Passover. He knows what's going to happen, right?
Right.
So he goes inside. So they're inside. Jesus then says, well, is that your own idea? Jesus asks, or did others talk to you about me? Pilate replied, am I a Jew? Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it that you have done? Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders, but now my kingdom is from another place. Well, you are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. What is truth? Retorted Pilate. With this, Pilate went outside again to the Jews and gathered them there and said, I find no basis for a charge against them. But it is your custom for me to release you to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews? And they shouted back, no, not him. Give us Barabbas. Now, Barabbas had been taking part in an uprising, had been captured, arrested. They want him back.
So to me, there's a couple of things that already don't sound right. You haven't even gotten to the part yet that you want to comment on. But the fact that the governor of this province is getting up and going to the front door multiple times to talk to this group, I'm surprised he did that.
Yeah, that don't sound right.
Yeah.
That he would do this. So Pilate took Jesus, had him flogged, They put the crown of thorns on him, put on a big purple robe on him, took him back outside, and he said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And then they slapped Jesus in the face. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered there, he said, "Look, I'm bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him." Then when Jesus came out wearing a crown of thorns and purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify, crucify." So part of this was on Pilate. He puts a big robe on him, a purple robe, which is a sign of the king, a crown, crown of thorns, albeit, also a sign of the king. So he, in a way, he's getting the crowd kind of frothed up himself. But Pilate answered, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him." So this is the second time he said that, right?
Right.
He said it once. He's out. He goes back outside and says, "I have found no charge against this guy." The Jewish leaders insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law, he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God." So if I remember right, since the Jews are under the Roman law, they don't have the right to they don't have the right to execute.
Right.
But their law has said he's guilty. Their law has said that he's guilty, deserving execution. So he just wants they just want Pilate to carry out their sentence is what they want him to do. But Pilate keeps on saying, nothing about this sounds right."
You like that narrative particularly because it shows that Pilate's going in and out, in and out, in and out. Talking to the chief priests that have brought Jesus to his palace, and then going in and talking to Jesus, and then coming back out and going in. Which that doesn't sound right in and of itself, that the governor was doing that. Pontius decides that since most of what Jesus did, most of his ministry was in Galilee, that he was going to send him over to Herod. And Herod was the governor over Galilee, but he happened to be in Jerusalem.
He was just vacationing. Well, it's the Passover.
He's there for the Passover.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so in Luke it records, so Pilate has said to the chief priests, then to the crowds, "I found no guilt in this man." But they said, and this starts up in Luke 23, verse 4, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea from Galilee even to this place." So when Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him over to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was happy, he was glad, for he had long desired to see him because he had heard about him and he was hoping to see one of the signs done by him.
Or a miracle.
Yeah, a miracle. And so he questioned him at some length, but he made no answer. And the chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. And Herod, with his soldiers, treated him with contempt and mocked him, and arraying him in splendid clothing, sent him back to Pilate. So Herod can't find anything wrong with him and sends him back to Pilate. And it says, this is something I found interesting, it said that Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day, for before this, they had been at enmity with each other.
I wonder why they became friends.
I don't know. That's an interesting detail that Dr. Luke records in the gospel. So now Jesus is back with Pilate, and then that picks back up with the scene that you had, I think, where Pilate washes his hands of the whole situation after his wife sends the note to
him. He says one more time. He said, from then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free.
Right.
He was trying to... every time the Jewish leader said something, he thought, that don't sound right. He's got to get this guy free. This guy's done nothing wrong. Yeah. But the Jewish leaders kept shouting, if you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar. And imagine that was the button they pushed.
Yeah.
That was the button
You wouldn't want to be seen as opposing Caesar.
Exactly. Yeah.
That'd be bad. Especially for Pontius, because he was a Roman military.
Oh, yeah. He did not want to be...
Yeah.
A part of that.
Right.
That was the button that was the card they played that put him over the top.
So Pontius has got his wife saying in one ear, don't have anything to do with this man.
She says innocent man.
He's got the chief priests calling for Christ to be crucified. And then Pontius can't find him either. I mean, he's in a tight spot.
We don't know how many times it says from then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free. We really don't know how many times he tried to set Jesus free, but it had to have been at least, if you put this in there, it's got to be at least two.
So I talked to
her. So you got two. You got two. Two times he's flat out said that don't sound right. This guy hasn't done nothing wrong.
Right.
And then you get this phrase that from then on. He kept on trying. Mm-hmm. Sends him to Herod. Herod says, "I got nothing on him."
Right. And so, you know, I ran this by our merchandise tester, who also happens to be a very, very smart guy and our pastor, and well-versed in the Bible.
He only has a master's in divinity.
His summation of this is that Pilate was a weenie.
He completely gave in.
Gave in. And not to his wife, who was talking some sense to him, but to the chief priests who were calling for Jesus' crucifixion.
And in the accounts does make it clear that there's a big crowd.
Yeah.
And so the other problem that's going on for Pilate is that when you got a big crowd and things start to get out of hand, that gets back to Rome.
Right.
That, okay, Pilate, you're this supposed to be this military leader.
Yeah.
You can't control these people.
Right.
Maybe we don't need you to be in our service anymore. So he's got something to prove now.
Yeah. Like, he doesn't want to be seen as opposing Caesar. He doesn't want to have another uprising, because Barabbas evidently has already caused an uprising.
Yeah, yeah. So he said some political issues in his head. So the interesting, one of the things that has been questioned is, was Pilate even a real guy?
You brought this up to me.
Yeah.
And so they were looking for an archaeological record.
Well, they came across one.
Did they?
They actually came across a stone that has his inscription on it.
Oh, really?
As a particular building. They're not sure what kind of building it was. Mm. But it was a building that he built his inscriptions on, the stone, which connects him to that time period, connects him to that area.
Right.
And confirms his existence. I think they've also found some coins.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they've got some coins.
They're minted with his image?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Pontius Pilate, a real guy, faced some real troubling times.
Yeah.
And I think for some people would say he made a mistake.
Absolutely.
Right? He made a mistake.
He did.
But he was also fulfilling a prophecy.
Yeah.
Of what had to happen.
Right.
What had to happen was that the perfect Lamb of God had to be sacrificed.
Right.
The Messiah had to come and rescue us from our sin.
Right.
And the only way for that to happen would be for him to be crucified.
Yeah.
And this was how it all went down.
Yeah, it's fascinating that the Bible takes such pains to record this, and especially like the detail of Pilate's wife.
Pilate
trying to talk him out of it, and then Pilate and Herod becoming friends.
Him going in and outside because the Jewish leaders didn't want to become unclean by going inside the palace.
That part's really fascinating to me, because I just can't, it's hard for me to imagine that a Roman military leader is getting up and down out of his chair, going to the front porch.
Well, you know, it was also the morning, because all this stuff, so Jesus was arrested late at night, right?
So it's early
morning. This was going on all, like, through the hours of the morning,
right.
The sun's starting to come up. Now they're knocking on the palace door and say, "Hey, we got."
And he may have had a hard night.
We don't know. Who knows?
I mean, who knows? And now he's woken up. And he's got to deal with this. He's already had to deal with one riot. He's got another riot potentially on his hands.
His wife had a bad dream about this.
Had a bad dream about it. It's stacking up against him, pretty hard. Now, remember, I'm a pharmacist and Peter's an engineer. So this is just our take on this. Encourage you to do your own reading and research.
Yeah, where should we look? Where should folks look?
Well, all four Gospels have this account. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all record interactions with Pontius Pilate.
So you can go to Matthew chapter 27. You can go to Mark chapter 15.
Luke 23.
And you can go to John chapter 18.
Yeah.
Read through those stories, you can read through those accounts, right. And that will lead up to the crucifixion of Jesus.
Right, which is what we're headed toward right now. So when you listen to this, tomorrow we'll be celebrating the resurrection. And so yesterday, Friday, we remember the crucifixion.
That was good working through your head to the calendar, because I was totally lost where you're going with that, because tomorrow is Good Friday.
Tomorrow chronologically is Good Friday, but as people are listening to this, tomorrow will be Sunday morning. Well, it don't sound right, but you have come to the end of another That Don't Sound Right.
Hey, we want to thank everyone for listening. And if this is your first time and enjoyed the conversation, would you consider hitting the subscribe button on the platform you listen with? Also, if you're a longtime listener, please give us a rating and leave us a review so others can easily find us and join the conversation. And you know what? I want to give a plug for our church, Redeemer Presbyterian. We have an Easter service.
Yes.
If you're curious about the life of Jesus and Christianity, we're a real easygoing church. So come and visit us. We have services at 8:30 and 11 o'clock.
That's right. Yeah, it'd be great to have you there. All right. There it is. Wonderfully Made Designs advertises with us. And it's a small business specializing in custom-made t-shirts and decals. Contact Casey on Facebook at Wonderfully Made Designs 139.14. Use code TSR10 for 10% off your first purchase. That Don't Sound Right is a production of TSR Podcasts in conjunction with Camel City Studios. I am your co-host and sound engineer, Cecil. Peter is your other host and does our web design. Camille is our part-time barista. Emily does your graphic design. Elle does your Instagram. Giorgio tests our merchandise and provided commentary on Pontius Pilate. Brent is our international brand ambassador who's been busy over the past week at press conferences and the foul ball. So.
And he's off to Iceland.
Oh, is he?
He's off to Iceland.
To promote the show.
Yes.
And listener number one has also been busy this week.
He has been.
And as always, listener number one is
Scott.
So until next week, keep talking.
And stay curious.